Hi everyone, this is Sam.
And this is Sophie.
It's been a while.
I feel like it's actually been close to 2 years.
Time flies.
And with that, we actually want to let you know that we have a lost episode that we recorded over a year ago, close to 2 years, with Samantha's brother and Jimmy, her fiance.
And a lot of life changes have happened, so keep that in mind when you're listening to that episode. But we do look forward to finally sharing this episode with you, as our guests truly deserve to have their stories shared with you guys. Pretty good stories.
So we're going to try our best to keep it consistent. You know, it's fucking harder than what it looks like, I'm going to be honest with you. But we're doing our best here.
We are, but we do appreciate our loyal listeners, if we have any out there.
If anyone out there is listening.
We appreciate you.
So thank you, and without further ado, here's the lost episode.
Welcome back, everyone.
You're listening to episode 11.
This is Seam for Mundo.
And this time, we're back with guests.
Today, we have my younger brother, Robert Castellanos.
Hey, how's it going, guys? My name is Robert Castellanos, like my sister said. I'm a professional soccer player from the MLS, and I'm very excited to be here.
And then we also have my handsome fiance here.
Hello, everybody. I'm Jimmy. I love beats. I'm just really excited to be here. It's going to be fun.
He ate a ton of beets before doing this show.
Literally, like right before this, right before we walked in, Robert and I.
Outside, next to the car.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we're on episode 11.
And you know what better way to celebrate with like some spooky stories and with people that we care about? And that's how you know it's real, when it comes from someone that you're close to, you know?
My scary experiences.
What is an experience?
Give a good amount of context too, so we can fully appreciate it. You know,
we want to be immersed in it. You know, just tell us what was a moment or that sticks out to you that was paranormal, or just something that just downright spooky.
I think, well, me growing up, I kind of had to leave like our hometown pretty early, so I had to go kind of chase a dream in Mexico. So I was living in a foreign country for a little bit, but I went out there, I think, 2013, I would say 2012, 2013. And this time I went out there to go play with some soccer teams to go see my level with one of my close coaches that would take me and his son to go play. And we would always go to like his hometown to like see his family and like go back to his house he has there and just kind of, you know, just go back and see his upbringing and everything. But so me going there this one time, after we were playing soccer, we would always go to his house and just kind of go have lunch. And like you guys know, every Mexican house has like a billion photos. And all these pictures are obviously like family members and people that, you know, have been living in the house. And for me, they're very spooky because I think like old ladies scare me.
So you're talking about like pictures of like relatives, like great grandfathers, great grandmothers
that have like passed on, but at one point lived in the house.
Yeah, yeah. So even like people that lived at the current moment, you know, just like pictures when they were younger and so on. So I just remember this one thing that stayed with me and stayed with me until now. I think we went out to the grocery store right by their house. It was called Oxxo. And this was the first time I went to visit that house. They've been there like year after year. And when I went there, you know, went through the pictures, you know, got to know the house and what room I was staying in. And then me being like very curious, just checking out the pictures, you know, I was just looking at them like, oh, well, I was like, who's this, you know? And he was like, oh, this is like my younger brother when he was younger. And this is my dad. This is my mother. And this is my grandma and so on. And then I was like, oh, okay, cool. After that, we're like, all right, let's go get some snacks at the Oxxo, which was down the street. And then didn't think much about it after the conversation. I started walking down with one of my friends, and then you know how when you're kids, you just kind of make games out of everything. So we start walking down, and he's like, all right, let's see who gets there first. Whoever gets there first doesn't have to pay for the snacks. And I'm like, damn. So we start running. He beats me to it. I kind of slowed down because I knew I was going to lose. And then, when I was going down, he kind of passed me. And then I saw my coach's grandma coming up the opposite way of the street carrying groceries. And I'm like, oh, damn, like, that's his grandma, like, who I saw in the picture, you know? And I say, hi, you know, I haven't seen her. Like, I presented myself to everybody in the family. She was the only one that I kind of didn't see at the household. So I go kind of near her, and I'm like, you know, my name's, like, Roberto. I'm here visiting with Jose Luis. And then I was going to help her with the groceries and stuff, and she kind of looked at me like, who are you, kind of? And I was like, okay. And I kind of told her again. I was like, you need help or anything? She just kept staring at me, not even one word. Oh, damn, like, this is very awkward.
Yeah.
And I just, I'm like, you don't need any help. I could take it to the house for you. Like, she looked very old age, you know, and like, obviously you just got to be polite. And she ignored me, and she just kept, like, staring at me and just looking at me the whole time she was walking up the hill. And I'm just, like, kind of in shock. All right, I guess she doesn't need my help, whatever. I thought it was just a weird moment. I leave it. I go to the store with my friend. I tell him, like, and he just kind of brushed it off. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. We get our snacks. We go back to the house. Once we go back to the house, I wanted kind of to find her. I couldn't find her. And I'm like, that's weird. So I go up to my coach, and I'm like, I just kind of saw your grandma. And I wanted to help her with the groceries, and she kind of like didn't respond to me. I was like, well, you know where she's at? Or like, can I go talk to her to present myself? And he chuckled, and I'm like, why is he laughing at me, you know? And then he like taps my friend, obviously his son. He's like, you hear what he's saying? And I'm like, he's like repeating. I'm like, yeah, like I'm wanting to say hi to your grandma. And they all just start laughing at me, and I'm like, why is everybody laughing? He's like, my grandma's been dead for the last few years. Like, what do you mean you saw my grandma? And then that's when I went, like, white. Like, I was just like, what the hell just happened? Like, and I was like, you guys are playing with me, because I guess they always think I make things up. But I'm like, dude, like, I know what I saw. Like, it was like a surreal moment. I look back at it, and I'm like, dude, get me out of this house. Like, yeah. I want to leave. So that was probably one of the first, like, encounters I had at a younger age when I was in Mexico that really, like, shocked me. And I'm like, dude, like, now I don't want to sleep in my own bedroom. Like, I wanted to sleep with my friend. I was like, dude, this is already creepy to me. Like, I saw somebody. And yeah, and from there, they just thought I was always, like, messing around. Now, dude, I know what I saw. So that was probably the first encounter that I had that I was, like, kind of, you know, not used to.
Did you experience anything after that in that house, or was it just that encounter only?
No, yeah, I think, like, a couple of days later that night, so up the stairs, they have, you know, those stairs that kind of, like, you go up four stairs, and it's, like, a flat, like, four more stairs, and it just kind of goes into, like, a little circle, mm-hmm. because it's an older house, and they kind of make the structure of it very narrow. And in the bottom of the house, you know, where you put your hand on to grab the handle, there's normally always, like, a middle figure, kind of, like, a nice big old wooden part of it to just kind of decor the stairway. And obviously this house is very old, so holding corner where the stairway is kind of loose, you know? So you know when people walk upstairs, because people grab it, it'll like rattle. So you know when people are going up and down the stairs, when people grab that, you could hear it rattle. And I remember it was late at night. I always like get nervous when I hear stuff. It just wakes me up. And I got woken up, obviously the worst time ever, 3 a.m., and I'm like, dude, like, this is not happening to me. And I woke up at 3 a.m. and I'm like, I need to go back to sleep. I need to go back to sleep. And then the room I was sleeping in had a window overlooking the stairway down. And I was on the far bed away from the window. And I'm like, I'm good. Like, nothing's happening. And then I hear the thing rattle. And I'm like, all right, who's on the stairs? You know, like, everybody's asleep. And I was just like, don't go check. No, I went under the covers. And then I tapped my friend. I'm like, dude, like, wait, someone's in the stairs. Like, I could hear the bottom of the thing rattle. And he's like, bro, go to sleep. Like, if you're overreacting. And I'm like, dude, seriously, like, someone's there. And then I hear it again, like, and I'm like, and then again, harder. And then I hear, like, so that's one part. And then once you get to the flat, before you hit the next, like, four or five steps, there's another one. And you could just hear it go along the way. So you hear this noise, like, little by little, getting louder and louder, like if someone's coming up.
Liking its way to you.
Yeah, and I'm like, dude, now I'm like sweating, like I'm getting very nervous, trying to keep myself under control. So like, I crawl over to the next bed, the one that's next to the window, and I tap my friend. I'm like, bro, look over the window, like just look over, like someone's there. And I just remember that moment, he ignored me. He's like, bro, I'm just gonna sleep. And I'm like, ugh. So then I just lean over because I'm like, dude, I need to see what it is. And I remember when I was catching to lean over, I saw this white figure in the bottom of the stairs, kind of like just their hand on the thing. And right when I saw that, like, I got so scared that I just jumped up and I landed on him, and he got so mad, pushed me off the bed, and I'm screaming. I'm like, bro, there's someone downstairs. Like, you gotta call your dad. You like, tell your dad. And he's like, bro, you're fucking crazy. Like, what are you talking about? I'm like, dude, like, there's someone there. I run out, and dude, I'm going to the bathroom, and I went to the bathroom, and I just hung out there until like,
damn,
until the light came out. And then the next day, they just made fun of it. But I was just like, dude, your house is haunted, and you guys are living with paranormal things, and if you guys like it, it's fine, but I'm not.
They never experienced anything themselves?
They experienced certain things, but I guess because they were so used to, like, kind of seeing things like this, or just kind of, like, shrugging it off. Yeah, yeah, you're just like, oh. I'm like, if you have ghosts walking around here and you're just cool with it, like, not me, I'm gonna leave. Those two incidents in that house when I first went out there was very eye-opening. It got me very curious because I started liking more spooky stuff, but then when I was in the scenario, I hated it. Like, I like reading about it and stuff like that, but when I was in it, I didn't really didn't like it because I got so scared, you know. But those are probably the first two that I really encountered that I was like, yeah, it's very scary.
Yeah, I remember you experienced a lot out there. I mean, even in other ways, right? Because you were young. How old were you, like, in that story, for example?
At that point, I was 12, 13.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, yeah. Imagine, like, being a little kid in a house that you're unfamiliar with. Forget that.
No, it is. It is. And the thing is, like, the grown-ups always look at you like you're bullshitting and stuff. And it's just, like, it comes to a point where, like, you're not. And then, you know, just until you prove what you see, then they'll believe you.
He said they just, like, normalize it. They're like, yeah, we see shadows. It's not a big deal. That's how they're at, like, my grandma's house. Thank God I have not seen a shadow. But everyone there says, oh, they see shadows all the time. I don't say
that. How do you normalize that, you know?
Yeah, I'm always like, if there is something here, stay away from me. I'm not the one to do that too. And so I haven't experienced anything super weird.
For sure, like, Samantha knows, like, I remember at our parents' house where my grandma lived, late at night, you know, they don't have street lights. So it's just like straight darkness. There's obviously fields and there's cows and bulls and stuff. Like, there's been moments where we'll be walking and you see the bulls and cows with red eyes, like,
oh, at night.
Like,
yeah.
If they're possessed or, yeah, like, they're demonic, and then you're just like, and you're in the middle of the dark. So and people just, the other regular people that live there, you know, grew up there, they're just like, another Tuesday. What do you run home? Like, I'm going home.
Yeah, I had a encounter like that. It was really spooky because my grandma's house, there's like a little house right next to it, and that's where my cousin used to live. But he came to the States, so that the little house has been technically abandoned. I don't know why, but he has, like, a bunch of porcelain dolls in that house. So I don't know if my grandma left them there, like, a storage, but everybody has always talked about that little house, horror stories. So everybody knew not to go there by yourself. And I remember one time they were having, like, a posada. So in Mexico, depending what pueblo or rancho your parents are from, in Christmas they have this little thing where every Christmas – this family has, like, a little welcoming for the town. So you sing, like, Christmas carols, you pray, and then they open their doors to you, and then they feed you. You guys conversate, socialize, take goodie bags, and then on to the next day, next house. So this time it happened to be at someone's house who, like, lived down, deep down, like, isolated. To get to their house, it was, like, you have to go through, like, cornfields. And so I initially had went there with my aunts and stuff. But I don't know what transpired within that time, that I was busy playing with the kids, that I lost my relatives. And when I looked back, I realized that I was with a bunch of strangers. So I was like, okay, I gotta head back home. And to get home, I had to go through a bunch of a cornfield with no light. There's no street lights. So I do remember I was very scared and I was trembling and I was just trying to, like, look straight towards my path and just, like, focus on that. And as Robert said, like, there was cows with, like, red eyes in the cornfields, and it was freaking me out. And I don't know if it's, like, the moon or what, like, how it makes their eyes that color, but it was freaking me out. And I remember, seeing that little house right next to my grandma's house that had a light on, and I was, that's the closest thing to what I know. And I was just trying to get out of the situation I was in. So I was assuming maybe my aunt was there or my grandma, maybe letting like a guest in and setting up the bed for them. So I was like, I'm going to make it my goal to run as fast as I can to that little house. So I ran tunnel vision. I ran. And then once I got there, I went up these little stairs and I'm screaming my aunt's name and no one's saying anything to me. And then as I realized I'm deep into that house, I realized the lights turned off and no one was there. And when I realized no one was there, that's when like literally like my blood, like I felt like my heart stopped and like I was freaking out. And I realized I'm in this little haunted house by myself. The light was on, which is what attracted me to be here in the first place. And now it's off. And who turned it off? So I ran as fast as I can. I got out of there. But thankfully, I didn't experience anything. But I have heard of multiple encounters of people experiencing things in that little house. So I totally get that thing you mentioned about the cows and the lights, the eyes being red and no lights in the street lights. It makes everything so much spookier.
Yeah.
But yeah, you definitely.
Even the details of that house, like there's obviously like, you know, in Mexico it's very common to see witches and stuff like that. They do like witchcraft and stuff like that. And that little house next to my grandma's house, like, was a hot spot. They would say like they would see witches on the top end of it.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Doing certain like witchcraft stuff. And then the creepiest thing about the house is like the layout is like Samantha said, there's like a pretty long runway to like enter the house or the room. But right when you walk in, you go up the first couple stairs, you take a left, it's like this gated door. It's very narrow. And the first thing you see when you turn left is a well. They have a well. So just like all these things that you kind of grow up and you're just like, you've seen all the movies and then now, all right, now I'm here and everything is like piling up in this one scenery that makes it very creepy. And then it's just one thing after the other. Like, I hate dolls. If I would have seen those dolls, I would have kicked them. I would start kicking these dolls down. Yeah. But yeah, I think that's probably one of the scariest things of like when you go to the ranch. Obviously, these people that are Mexican and you have to go back to see your family and everything. You go to these places and it's like, it's very spooky.
Because they have so many stories and so many experiences. So then when you go there, it's fun, but then you're also like spooked out because sometimes too, you have to use a restroom outside of the house.
Oh, I hate that. That's the worst. I used to pee in a bucket.
Yeah.
That's was the too best scared. Option.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Yeah. I would do the same exact thing.
Man. It's literally like they build a house, everything, and then you're like, all right, you have to go across the street, next Oak School, take the taxi and go to the... I'm like, the bathroom's that far? Like,
they're like, you got to go to the backyard 1 mile away. It's like no lights, nothing.
No, and it's the most spookiest thing. Like,
it's in the middle of the woods.
Yeah, and there's probably like one little light bulb that's like flickering. And you're, dude, like... I'm not gonna go that way. Like, so I'm gonna die.
There's like a big spider in the corner as well.
Don't talk about the spiders because their spiders are huge.
No, you spiders. They have scorpions. Everything you think of, like, it just all starts popping up at that time.
So the bucket sounds starts sounding nice at that point.
No, yeah. Sometimes you sleep it through.
That one does.
You compare like, would you rather see a ghost or a scorpion or a spider?
Oh yeah, I'll go for sure those.
Yeah, because even my dad told me that in Nicaragua they have a lot of scorpions. Mm-hmm. So then they purposely have to position the beds away from the wall because otherwise they crawl on you while you're sleeping. And so they position the beds like that. And he told me one time, my grandpa, he passed away, right? I never met him, which is my dad's dad. And he said that one time my grandma was like, or just like, you know, jokingly when you remember someone and you remember some shit that like, oh, he did this one time and he got me really mad or whatever. He said that he was sitting with his sister, him on the bed and my grandma, and that as they were talking, that someone, as she was like kind of like talking about my grandpa, that the bed lifted and slammed down.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I'd be out of there.
And then we all looked at each other and they felt like it was him being like, shut up, talk about
me. Gosh.
When I something dark and scary, would I rather come across a spider or something paranormal?
No, yeah, for sure. Spider and me were best friends in that moment.
Really? or a scorpion.
Because at the end, you can't take that paranormal thing out of your head. Like, it lives rent free. It's like when you watch a scary movie and like, now you're afraid of the dark, but you're not really afraid of the dark. You're afraid of what's in the dark.
Yeah.
And it's just like,
it's life altering.
Yeah.
For
sure. Spider and me, we could hang out.
For example, when I go hiking, I'm always afraid of animals. Low key, I'd rather hear a hey or something that I don't know where it came from opposed to me coming across a mountain lion.
They sound pretty creepy too.
Because mountain lions will murder me.
They sound like like crying babies.
Oh yeah, yeah.
When we or went like to a go do the lady. Photo shoot for the pregnancy. Remember how we were going up there? We're like, oh, let's avoid.
Yeah,
the,
you yeah. kind of. Is it just me, or do you kind of feel like this eerie feeling where like it's too quiet and you don't hear birds chirping, you don't hear anything, and that feels very it's uneasy, concerning. Yeah. Especially when you're out in the wilderness.
Nature's loud. I think it's time for me to leave.
Yeah, this is too peaceful.
I know, Jimmy, you've had experiences as well.
Well, what I was going to talk about is some stories that my mom, my dad, and my uncles and everybody. All my life I've grown, like when I've lived in Sinaloa, we lived there for about like 2 years, two to three years.
Culichi Town.
And we would stay in this place called El Colegio, which is a little rural ranch, you know. So back in the 90s or whatever, when my dad was a youngster going up and down his ranch, they would walk, you know, when they would have like bailes, you know, like dances over there. And they would literally walk from like 20 miles away all the way to their house, you know, just to get to the ranch, because in those days they didn't have cars, they didn't have anything. And they said that when they would leave the dances in the middle of the night, like at 12 or 1 in the morning, they would be walking, and that my dad and my uncle swear that they hear a woman singing like far away in el monte, in the fields, as they walked. And it's supposedly, I guess, el diablo, like the devil's trying to lure you into the fields to kill you, you know? So everybody that lives over there knows about that place called Las Barrancas Prietas. Samantha, you went there too when we went in 2019 to Mexico, remember?
Yeah, we were feeling a little brave. Not that brave, because we went in like the daylight where it's like the talk of the town, that little trail.
Yeah, a little stretch of like...
Everyone has experienced something there. And yeah, we went there. It's
pretty spooky, yeah.
But mm-mm. We were feeling bold, but not bold enough to go in the nighttime. Yeah. So I think in the nighttime is when it usually happens.
Because they would say that when they would be walking from the baile, they would hear like a woman singing, that supposedly she was singing and bathing herself in the sand that's nearby there. It's like a river. So it's like a riverbank. And then like it cross intersects the road. So people that cross that road, they're really close to the sand. They hear like a woman singing and bathing herself, like cleaning herself. Supposedly that's the devil trying to lure guys in over there and kill them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
It's pretty spooky, because everybody says the same thing. My grandpa too, he says that he's walked in the middle of the night, and he's old. He's like, he was born in 1945, but that when he would go, like when he was 50 years old or whatever, he would just see like black figures just standing there waiting for you as you cross by, like just far away. But that one time he saw a black figure, and he went up to him and he asked him, he was like, hey, do your dogs bite? Because he had three dogs, but they were all black, and he didn't respond. So he left, like he would go out of there. And the majority of the locals in that town, they all avoid that area, because if they could travel throughout the night, then they're probably going to see something. It's pretty notorious, you know what I mean?
Very yeah. eerie. Speaking of your grandpa, doesn't he have multiple experiences where he lives?
Oh, yeah. He says that he's seen like a lot of dead people walking near his ranch, like near the edges of his property. In that room where we were staying at, do you remember? Like, well, we stayed in down in my grandpa's thing. So he has a room that's just all dark. You know, Mexico, just like they close the door and then boom, like it's just
no
dark.
Windows or anything.
Yeah, exactly. And that my mom said that she experienced this, that she would like after they got married, that she laid in that room and in the bed, somebody touched her feet, like somebody pulled on her thing. And she was the only one in there, you know. But many, many of my family members have told me the exact same thing about that specific room, that when they go in there, weird stuff happens, and they prefer to sleep outside rather than in that room. So
I believe the last time we went to visit, your grandma mentioned that they pulled the covers away from her or something along the lines.
Yeah. Yeah, she did. Yeah.
Yeah. It's
that's crazy.
That's yeah. so creepy.
Yeah, yeah. That
like you're so vulnerable when you're sleeping.
No, that's yeah. the thing. And then like once something like that happens, thousand scenarios go through your head that you're just like freaking yourself out way faster.
Yeah. yeah.
You know what I wanted to tie back into? I think it's pretty mm-hmm. funny that I thought about right now, because it's like, do you remember when you guys scared me?
Tell me why I was going to bring that up. I was wait, like, I'm going to bring it up.
Dude, this is the most fucked. I'm telling you, this is the most messed up thing. I mean, there's been three bad things that have happened to me. and this is probably on the top three. And I'm just like, dude.
How like, can I not be your big sister and not do something like that to you?
Yeah, but
it's
that
like
was
a big sister thing.
Yeah, but that was like too many people working against me. Like all you guys had this in your head and like ran. Like you scared me. And then there was a moment like I was going to piss myself. And you kept going. And
to
I'm
be
like,
fair,
dude.
We were also trying to get our other friend who was there with us. But
so
he,
I was collateral?
He caught on. It's funny because I was going to bring that up and I was like, I wonder if he remembers.
Dude, I remember. Dude, I like got in fours, bro. And like I put my head so deep down my freaking like thighs and stuff to cover my eyes because I was so afraid at that time. Because like everything
well,
was
what
like,
they do to you?
Bro, so, I'll let them explain the intro of all that because.
So it's no secret that Sam and I love spooky things. And so I think how old was I at this point? How do you remember our ages? I had my car. I had my Mustang at this time.
I was for sure 11 or 12. Like, this is like this is before I left Palmdale.
20?
So you, yeah. Because I was like
or like 19 11. Or
yeah, all this probably, like, this would have spanned 10.
I don't think
10.
You were that young.
Yeah.
There's no way we
because
did that
because I left
to
at 14.
You. We were that young.
It was either,
so you're probably like 13.
Yeah, 13 or 12.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is pretty messed up. But I think we were like 19 years old because I had my Mustang at that time, like 18, 19. Mm-hmm. And obviously we weren't old enough to drink, which is why, like, one of the fun things to do was to drive around Palmdale.
And go see creepy spots.
And see creepy spots that are supposedly haunted.
Did you ever go to the asylum up there?
Yeah, we did. We did do that. And I think we didn't want to do that at that time because it was too deep into the desert. And
yeah,
I didn't want to, like, mess up my car. You have to have, like, a good car for that.
It's, like, kind of like this, not like the sand dunes, but like the dirt. It's very like
yeah,
soft.
You have to be careful with what car you take because I've heard people getting stuck there. And I'm just like, we didn't want to risk it. And then I had told you guys about this spot that used to be a hospital back in the day.
Yeah.
And my dad worked there as a security guard. And he said that he would hear people crying. He would go into, like, hear conversations being had in a room. And he'd walk in and it'd be, like, no one there and, like, dead silence all of a sudden.
Yeah, that's spooky.
Yeah. And he would hear people sobbing. And so we drove there and we went to just, like, look at it. And that's all you can do is, like, look at it. It's not that fascinating. And then, like, in that moment, Sam and I came up with an idea. We should scare them. In the moment, we're like, okay, like, this is what's going to happen. Up the volume in my car because I had the Cure, like, tape in my Mustang. And so I put the volume really loud before they had gotten it back in the car, turned it off. So, you know, whatever volume you leave it at, it's going to be that loud when you, like, hit it on. And so we were just, okay, just go with it. Just go with it. Like, whatever. We're going to, like, spitball. Yeah, you know, there's actually this road that I heard's really haunted that when you drive through, supposedly your car will stop working, like, spirits will approach it, and, like, you'll get stuck there.
And then the radio, like, shit will, like, the radio will start playing random music, like, super, skipping tracks and shit like that.
Yeah, it'll be, like, super scary. And then Robert's like, yeah, like, let's just go. And we're
because
like,
I was in the
know.
Back seat, bro. You know when you're in the back? I was I'm hella protected. Like, yeah, like, the people in the front are going to get hit first. Like, they're going to take them first, and then I can hide in the back.
And mind you, on 50th or 60th, it was, like, near Daisy's house. Before they had fully constructed, I think, that road, right?
See, we're over there, and...
So we drive there, and then because Sam and I are kind of, like, low-key smirking at each other. I don't know. I feel like we were kind of obvious. And tell me, like, if I forget something, you can, like, tell me. I drive on this supposedly haunted road, and then I just hit the brakes really hard. And then and then, like, I pressed the button because I knew that I was going to, like, distract, right? So I hit the button real fast, and the music's super loud. And then everyone just starts screaming, but at this point, Brian caught on. So he's being super dramatic, which I think is adding to, like, Robert's fear.
Dude. Robert's probably...
And I just see Robert, like, going like this, like, covering his ears and head and, like, shaking. He's like, just go! Just go! And I'm like, my car stopped working. Yeah. It's not working.
And the worst is, like, dude, these are dirt... Like, it's the road, and then it's, like, it's a dirt road right on the side. So then, like, she's getting off the road and, like, car's slowing down. And then, like, Brian's yelling, like... What the fuck's out there in the desert? Like, I just saw something. And I'm like, where? I turn. I'm like, oh, and I cover my eyes, bro. And then Sophie's like, I can't drive no more. I can't drive. And I'm like, and then the music, and I'm like, dude, like, I'm like, Sophie, go. And then, like, while she's pushing to the side, like, the dirt starts, like, building smoke, you know? And it started getting smoky and the car's going, you know, it's like in the movies, like, when you're getting chased and you just start going slow or you trip or, like, when you're dreaming about something and you're getting chased and you're like, you feel like you're running with, so like, slow, like, yeah, water, you're like, yeah. Why am I, yeah. Dude, that's how I felt in that moment. I'm like, Sophie, drive. And Sophie's like, I can't drive. And the radio's like,
yeah, and it was, dude, the it was cure, crazy. Dude. And then, like, and then I turned down the music, whatever, and he's like, just go. And then, like, then I, you know, start driving normal. And we're like, oh my God, that was so scary. And what was fucked up is that Sam and I never told him that it was a prank. And I thought, like, I was like, oh, Sam will probably eventually told him. So, like,
he probably had trauma all these years.
Yeah.
No, yeah, but the worst
is traumatized. And that's the thing, is that, like, I think years later, and I don't know if you remember this, I was like, Sam, did you ever tell him that it was a joke? And then he was just like,
hella nonchalant.
Like, I don't think I did. And then, like, then we told him, and he's like, are you fucking serious? And we're just like,
he's wrapping up his final, like, therapy sessions. Yeah, over that.
At this time, I think he did leave shortly after that or something, because, like, I guess that's why we never had time to tell you, because then I remember you told me you would tell other people about that street all the time.
That fucking street haunted me. Because, like, the last thing I remember is, like, the last, because we went, like, we got on and, like, say we're driving straight, right, like, about 2 miles, and then for us to leave was going backwards, right? So we're, like, a mile in, and, like, everything starts happening, like, the paranormal stuff, whatever. And then, like, cars start slowing down. So then she's, like, going so slow, like, U-turn and, like, go. So by the time we turn around, we're still going through the same, like, experience again. And so, like, I hit the ground, and, like, I put my head so deep down my knees and start, like, praying, bro. And I'm, like, I'm crying and praying. And then they're, like, all screaming. But, like, we're, like, looking at me, like, kind of laughing.
Kind of like that.
But, yeah. Dude, they hella got me that moment, I swear. Because everything, like, lined up so good.
Yeah.
Did you guys forget, though, that we kind of kept it on when you got home? I think, if I can recall, we had, like, a little boombox or something, and then we played some, like, country music that really loud, and then it was happening again at the house. It was, like, I put it out.
I don't remember that.
No, yeah. The crazy thing is, like, I think that's why country music, that's why I didn't like country music growing up.
It's because of all the scary movies, you know, when you walk into that house, and then it's, like, no one's there, and it's, like, looks spooky, and it's in the middle of nowhere, and there's country music playing in the background.
That old school country music.
We were trying to get the vibe going.
I don't remember. No. We
kept going at my parents' house.
We're awful. No, because I remember, though, it was so funny. Like, I remember thinking it was so hilarious because Robert's like, that music sounded so evil. It was scary. And it was literally The Cure. Like, it was literally Robert Smith.
He's like 12 years old, traumatized in the back.
PTSD in this shit.
He's like, Friday, I'm in love. Like, no.
Yeah. No, yeah, that really got me. Like, I always think about that experience when we were all hanging out together. I'm like, damn, bro, I really fell for that.
It kind of reminds me how recently Samantha was coming home really late. And I like to sometimes, like, turn on the music and, like, fall asleep to it, you know? So I play this video game called Bloodborne. And one of the songs is, like, where people are chanting. They're like, oh, like, really spooky, you know? And I fell asleep with that on repeat. And then Samantha comes home, like, at 1 a.m, you know, from her parents' house. And she wakes me up. She's like, oh, my God, what's going on? Like, I thought somebody was dead in here because of that freaking music, you know? Yeah. But it was really just all chanting. Creepy, it was just that.
No, like, okay, first of all, that music sounded like some gothic church, like chanting, like, oh, like that. So imagine you walking in at 1 a.m, it's pitch black, and you hear that playing loud as hell in the apartment.
No, yeah, I'll be freaking
out. And it's like some church gothic freaking, like, I don't know, it sounds creepy as hell. And it's loud. So I'm, like, turning on the lights and I'm saying, hello, hello. And no one's saying anything. Yes. And he's knocked out. And I'm like, how the hell do you fall asleep to this? It's fucking creepy.
You can fall asleep to anything, I think, if you're tired. And, yeah, you know,
I believe that.
An accidental prank.
Yeah.
I also wanted to mention, since we were talking about, like, you know, experiences happening in Mexico. Our parents have a house that was built next to my grandma's house. For years, there was this lot conveniently just not in use next to my grandma's house.
In the middle.
People have built their houses around it. And I always thought as I was younger, like, how convenient is my dad was able to find a lot that's right next to my grandma's and build a house there. And how come these people that have lived here for so many years have never tried to buy this territory? This is my assumption, because when my dad built the house, I recall that this man who has already passed away, who lived behind the territory.
The little house, right?
Yeah. He told me that territory was basically off limits because there's a lot of history that happened there. And there was, like, a bunch of people that have passed away there, like something about like Indians or something, like back in the day.
Indigenous
people. So, and I believe him because that house, our relatives have experienced things. I haven't experienced something like visually, but I remember one time we were on vacation and I was sleeping and our back door is like literally like a metal door, like a hard metal door. And I remember it was in the middle of the night and I heard like knocking, like three knocks, and it would stop. And then I would hear three knocks again. And it was like eight in the a.m. And then I was like freaking out because they kept knocking. And then I told my relatives about it the next day and they're like, don't open the door. It's like spirits trying to get in.
Yeah.
And then I remember my older brother, Manny, he had gone on vacation by himself and he stayed there by himself. And he said he heard kids.
He only stayed there one night, though, because...
Yeah.
Crazy. Whole house, three bedrooms, furnished, like, up to the T, like, very... Like, for being in the ranch, luxury house, right? He ended up sleeping at my grandma's house in that little room that's, like, a guest room with one little bed. And it's like... And my Manny, like, our brother, he hardly gets scared. Like, he's always had this, like... For him not to sleep in that house, like, speaks volume that you don't... Why wouldn't you sleep in your own house, fully furnished, and you go sleep in a little bed?
I think the first night he was hearing things, he had to put like headphones on to hear like to fall asleep with music.
I think
on.
He did tell me this one time that he just put music really loud so he could ignore it.
No, it's crazy. But I've never felt like, I think personally, like I've always had like a good instinct in like bad like energy places, and I think I even told Samantha when we were younger, like, I've never ever felt safe in the house. Like, safe as, like, okay, my parents and everybody's here. But safe as in, like, there's things, like, walking or, like, around us. Like, because it's just, like, you're, like, there and you could just feel, like, bad energy around. And that little house Samantha talks about, this, like, very, like, poor, poor family lived there. And it just, like...
Oh, like, back house, right?
Yeah, and they just disappeared.
Yeah.
Like, they don't live there no more. And it's gone. And I...
And it's crazy because sometimes in Mexico, like, there could be, like, a little family living in a little, like, house and stuff.
It was like a hut.
Yeah, and then sometimes they just disappear, and then the house just stays there, and it's, like...
This is hollow.
Yeah.
Like, harnessing all this energy that was there.
But the thing is, like, that's what I think is very scary because of, like, all that energy just builds up in that area, and then they just, like... Oh, nothing happened. But when you come from the outside and you come in, it's just, like... All this hits you at once, and you're just like overwhelmed because it is very scary.
Which I didn't ask my dad, but I thought he'll even tell me because I don't think my dad entertains stuff like this. But my dad recently went to Mexico and stayed at the house by himself, and he never told us anything. But then I think even if he did hear or feel, he wouldn't tell us. I feel like he's too like, how do I say it? I don't think he believes in this stuff.
But he's too proud, like prideful, so to I'm be curious, like he just went I come here and I'm gonna use my house. Like, even if I'm scared shitless, I'm gonna stay in my house because I built it.
And I don't think he would tell us. I don't think he would tell us.
He's stubborn like that.
Yeah, because he's always trying to convince us to go, and then he's always like, the house is just sitting there. And I feel like he wouldn't tell us because he would probably like, okay, this is gonna make them not want to go.
He cut his trip short too.
He did, like, actually.
Wait, did?
Yeah, he was supposed to stay for 2 weeks or even longer. He was back home in like 4 or 5 days. I swear he was, I'm out.
Maybe that's what it was, but he didn't want to admit it.
Yeah. You guys should ask him, and like, now we can follow up with an update.
Well, that house is available if you ever guys ever want to go visit.
Yeah, you guys,
you can rent it.
Not even for free.
No, like, if you want to come too.
Oh, I think like the audience, yeah.
No, the audience, y'all could come too. Y'all want to experience something? We'll send you the address.
I'm saying, like, if you guys ever want to have a house there. So,
cool. But I just want you to know, though, for the record, I would, like, have to, like, wake you up. Like, someone have to use the restroom. Like, can you stand there with me?
Guard.
Yeah.
No, but I'll be honest.
But see, that's very common because the girls do that in Mexico.
Yeah, I would make you.
Let's wake up and let's go together to the restroom.
Yeah.
If you were to, I would say, if you put cameras, like, that's a scary part. Like, have you ever thought about, like, oh, I'm going to put a camera and go to sleep?
But,
like,
you just
don't want to, like, open up that door. But, like, I'd be honest, if you put, like, cameras in that house, like, I'll first not you for sure gonna see something.
Yeah, it's creepy. I know there's an app where you can like record yourself when you're sleeping, because I know they say they do it as like a way to see if your sleep was interrupted or anything like that.
Yeah.
Or if people talk in their sleep.
Kind of like sleep apnea.
I don't wanna know.
Right. No,
I don't
sure.
wanna record like if, myself. If like, I got I would ghosts not know.
Chilling around me while I sleep.
Yeah.
Just don't wake me up. Because
exactly.
I'd rather not entertain it. It's scary.
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Kind of. Remember the other night that you heard me? What did I scream? I was like, no.
I just heard him go, no. And then I was like, oh, he's having a nightmare. Let me wake him up, you know? So I woke him up and I was like, hey, you're good. I'm right here. And yeah. He was like, he was in the middle of a dream.
Yeah,
I dreamt
that a demon was at our foot of our bed throwing me something.
I forgot we could have talked about me growing up. Remember, I would have all those like
night terrors.
Yeah, my night terrors.
Yeah, you would have night terrors. Maybe you could talk about it too, because if we could normalize it, because not really people talk about it and people experience it, but they don't know what it is.
Yeah, yeah. I grew up with a lot. At the moment, I didn't know what they were. None of us did, you know. And I thought it's crazy because I think it hit me so hard that. Like, I've read a little bit about it. When you go through, like, somewhat of that trauma or stuff like that, your brain protects you so much where, like, it kind of puts it in the back front. And, like, me growing up, I think after that, I forgot about it for a while. And then it just all hit me, like, later on in my life. I was like, damn, I really experienced all these moments, which I think, like, now night terrors are more common. But back then, we didn't really know what was going on. Like, I remember our parents would take me to the doctors, like, once a week at least, because I wake up sweating, thinking like everybody's trying to kill me, and like I would see like people with red eyes, and I'll see my mom, and I'll see you guys, and I'm like, get the hell away from me! Like, what the fuck's going on? Like, I'll be screaming like bloody murder, you know. But it all started, I think, I was about like 4 or 5.
You're pretty young, but I think what it really.
But we normalized it too, because like if like Sophie and like Jimmy, like I was literally like I would get like it looked like I was getting possessed. Like sleepwalking possessed, because I would be like standing in like the top part of my stairway looking down and just standing there with like no reaction. And then they'll wake up and they'll be like, yo, like, are you okay? And I'm like, and then like when I'll snap, I'll start seeing like red eyes and people with like trying to kill me. And I'll like the only person that was like my safe house was my dad. Like he was the only one to ever calm me down. Anybody else try to grab me, I'll be screaming like bloody murder. And my dad used to always have this like white wet towel that was really cold next to us. So right when, because my temperature would go skyrocket like over 100, and he would have to put it on my forehead and like wrap me up, like
trying
to
like
bear
tight.
Hug me until like my levels went down, which we never knew what it was. You know, there was like, I think the doctor said, oh, he just got a high fever, but it was just like all the time I would hit like this stage of like going very, very high, like fever, seeing people with red eyes and seeing like, you know, just really odd objects. And so, yeah, that happened to me growing up. But the one that really was in that moment that scared me is our dad used to have, like, very, like, these luxury model horses on top of our fireplace. And they're, like with real horse, what was it? Like, real horse hair. Oh. Yeah, hair. But they're like, probably about, like, 10, 15.
They weren't, 10, like, taxidermy, but they were, like, just... little horse figurines that had,
but
like,
they're like about 10 feet. They're about like 10 feet.
Derby.
Yeah,
could you imagine a big horse in your living room?
Like a Mustang.
No, yeah, there was about, I would say like about 10 feet.
Yeah, no, they were like tiny horses, but they had like real like hair and all.
They were like
that stuff.
A demonstration of a real horse, just like like compressed to have at your house to like kind of
like
show up. Yeah, decor. Yeah. So my dad bought a black and white one, super nice, and there used to be sitting on top of our firehouse and our fireplace, and down our stairs, if I could build the image, is like you look down the stairs and you could see our fireplace on the right hand side, and then you could see the like decor on top. And I used to wake up and always stare down the stairs, you know, just like in a frozen moment. And I remember this one time I go in my night terror mode and I'm screaming, yelling, like I'm freaking out, because the other thing in my head, I don't know what it was, but everything would go big. Like, all the objects would just go big in my head, and it would just, like, it would freak me out. And then I remember I ran downstairs, and I saw the horse, and they had red demon eyes. And I remember I was screaming at my dad, like, and I went to grab him, like, to break him, because I was like, dude, this is, like, going to kill me. And my dad was like, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? And I'm like, these are going to kill me. Like, they're like, demonic. And my dad had to like throw them away, in which I think he paid good money for them, you know. And him having to throw away because I was going through that like moment growing up with night terrors and everything, which the only person to calm me down was my dad and that wet cold towel. Because even when we go to the hospital, like I would still have those consistently.
I think it was more so like you were dreaming, but you were awake while you were dreaming. You were having nightmares. So everything that you would normally see in a nightmare in your head, you were looking at it visually, and we were becoming that nightmare.
Yeah.
If you saw a demon in your dream, if you saw me in front of you, you would think I was the demon.
Yeah. And it was so like, it was like having the, what's that thing called? VAR.
Yeah.
I swear. It was the most scariest.
It was very bad because, it did look like he was possessed because he would be like talking to us like erratically and like trying to like not hurt us, but like defend himself.
Yeah.
So it got to the point where I would have to hold him down until his fever went down. And then, but it's crazy because it's still unexplained. Like it just, they randomly stopped, but they were very consistent. And all we could say, it was night terrors. But medically, like, that's what they would diagnose him as.
Because at the end of the day, like, I could have hurt people or hurt myself if it wasn't for like someone very strong grabbing me at that time and like calming me down and like whatnot. But yeah, I think that was honestly, I think for those reasons, I was like very always afraid growing up to certain things because I guess I would experience them heavier than other people. Like if we watched the movie Chucky, like your perception of it, it's a bit lighter than my perception. Like mine became a whole reality of Chucky. Like I would watch the movie Chucky and it became real to me. Like it would be like
internalized.
Yeah. And then it would just become movie after movie and movie. And I remember like growing up, you guys make fun of me because we'll start a scary movie and I'll knock out.
Yeah, he would force himself to go to sleep.
I wouldn't knock out because I was tired. I'd knock out because I knew for about 2 weeks, like people, whatever, you see a scary movie, you have a nightmare. You have a nightmare for a week and you're like, it rubs off, you know, like you watch SpongeBob, it's gone. Like me, it stayed with me for like months and years. And that scenario got built in my head. Which I think that's why I was always so scared when I was growing up with movies.
Yeah, I could definitely see why. But it makes sense
because you were literally seeing like nightmare things
in
your face, like in your eyes, yeah, in your face.
I could just imagine seeing like red eyes or something like that.
Yeah,
like,
it's crazy.
Like when I had sleep paralysis, I saw like a demon in the corner with the red eyes and I would,
I would be
so scared. But I could just imagine seeing that every other night or something like that.
But that's the best description. Like if people ever get sleep paralysis, like I was in that form, but besides my body being like asleep, I was like moving and everything was a visual
like
to me.
Like your body was awake, but your conscious creepy. Was in that
But that's why I know it hit me so hard because like after a while, it went away. Like my memory of all that, like got like shifted to the back of my head because I guess it damaged me like in that aspect of being very like frightening. It just pushed it back.
It traumatized me.
Yeah. And I built a barrier where like it takes moments for me to like really go back there and like refresh myself with those memories to like talk about it.
Well, thank you for sharing that with us. I know that is very personal because that's something you experienced that was traumatizing when you were younger. Another experience that I think you would like to share with us, since you mentioned it earlier today, was also one of your trips that you came to Mexico.
Yeah, those Mexico
You also experienced another experience. So why don't you share that with us?
Yeah, I think this is probably the most scariest one that's happened to me because this was actually like a visual. But, you know, we'll go back at it again with the Mexico trip. I think Mexico and me were beefing with the stuff I see out there. But this is another soccer trip. You know, growing up, I was traveling a lot and obviously trying to get the exposure and get myself in these environments. But once again, I went to Mexico, and this time we went to Guadalajara, and we were staying at a friend's house. And in Guadalajara, you know, it's a very lovely, beautiful place. And we're staying in this two-story house. And upstairs, there's two bedrooms. Downstairs was one. And it was my coach, the person living in the house, which at that moment was another player, me, his son, and a friend. So it's five of us, and there's three bedrooms. So that means the master bedroom, the owner's sleeping there, the spare bedroom upstairs, two a bed, and then downstairs, two a bed, which I'm not getting downstairs. Like, they're going to get me, you know, if anything happens. So I wanted to sleep upstairs. So us three, the kids, we start playing rock, paper, scissors to see who's going to sleep upstairs. So two of the kids were going to sleep upstairs, and my coach was going to sleep in the bottom. Who was going to sleep with their coach was going to be the losing rock, paper, scissors, which I did not want it to be me. But then we start playing and boom, my luck. It was me. And I'm like so pissed because, you know, I was like, I don't want to go sleep downstairs. And it was raining so hard that day, like where you could hear this like the whole night, you know. So I remember at that moment, whatever, I like just take my L. I go downstairs and I'm like, go to sleep, you know. And I always had trouble sleeping in Mexico. I just don't know why. I just built so many scenarios in my head. But then so that in that moment, it's raining so hard, and you know, like it always happens to me, I end up waking up like around 2:50, 3 a.m. you know, that's like demon time. your ass better be at home or something, because things always happen around that time. And then, so it's raining really hard, but like, you know, when you hear it outside, you know, it's a different way of hearing it when it's outside and then when it's like very near you. So this time it's like, it felt very near me, which that's the reason I woke up. It felt like I was getting rained on, you know? And I was like, dude, why is this so loud? Which, like, describe this, like, so the bedroom we're sleeping in, you open the door, and right when you open the door, what you see in front is like you walk 4-5 steps and it's the front door. And then on your right side is the stairway to go upstairs, which everything's kind of really compact. So I'm hearing this rain and I'm like, why is it so close? Like, so I'm like, should I open the door to check? Like, why is it so close? And I'm like, no. And I'm like, whatever, I'm gonna do it. I open the door. My luck, the front door's open. So that's why I could hear, because I could hear the rain, and all the rain is splashing on the, it's like marble. So splashing on the ground, and it's just the floor is getting wet. And I'm like, dude, no way. And I tap my coach. I'm like, hey, go close the door. The door's open. Like, someone's going to come and kill us. Like,
you can do this.
Yeah. And he's like, hey, don't start. Go to sleep. Don't start with this shit already. I'm like, well, start with what? Like, the door's open. It's raining really hard. Like, someone could come in, you know? He doesn't get up. And now I'm like, you know, I'm in that mode. Like, I got to do something, or something might happen and we all die and it's going to be my fault. So I'm like, all right, like, who opened the door? We locked these doors, you know? It's not easy to open it. So I'm building scenarios like, okay, how to open, blah, blah. I'm like, all right, I got a plan. I'm going to open our door. I'm going to run really, really fast, slam the door, run back in quick, you know? So in that moment, I'm getting ready by the door and I go, boom, I start taking off. Little did I know in that moment was, you could slip and fall, you know? And I didn't really process that because the whole floor is wet, but I'm running so fast. I'm just like so scared, like adrenaline is kicking in. And I start running and I go to slam the door, and these doors are Mexican doors. Like, if you know, these are like very, they're thinner doors. And this is like a nicer house, but like the doors are pretty, not that heavy. I go to slam the door and the door just like ricochets, boom. And it opens back up. And when I run to close it, it smacks and opens back up. And I turn, and when I turn to start running, I like get caught halfway. And I'm like, the door. And I'm like, fuck. I turn in that moment when I turn, like, there was like, I swear it felt like slow motion. Like, I turn and I see the rain hitting hard. And then across from us, we lived in that moment, they lived in like kind of cul-de-sac. In the middle of the cul-de-sac, they had like a playground. And in the playground, that's where all the kids play and stuff like that. And there's always been stories about, like, obviously, like certain things been seen in those playgrounds, you know. And I turn and what I see across from me is a little girl in a white dress. And it was just like my body, I've never felt my body go like cold like that. Like, I couldn't move. Like, I was such in shock. And I see the little girl just like walking now. And it's getting closer. It's like, and I'm like frozen. I'm like, in my head, I'm like trying to move and I can't move. And I'm like, heart's beating fast now. I'm like super scared. I'm like, what? And I see it just walking and walking. It becomes more like real to me. It starts crossing the street, and once it starts crossing the street, like, I'm frozen and I feel like I'm screaming, but nothing's coming out. Like, I'm just in shock.
Yeah.
And I just never know how that felt until I was in that moment. And somehow, like, I finally get out of it and I slam the door, go to close it, and when I turn, I slip. And when I slip, I hit the ground, and there's obviously the window. And you could see it, the thing still approaching the door, and I'm on the ground, and I smack my knee, and I'm like, it felt like a movie to me, because I'm like, I hit my knee, I'm like kind of crying because my knee hurts, and I'm crawling to the room, and I see this thing approaching the door, and like, it all felt like it all shut out once I like was able like to get across the door. And all this is happening, and my coach is still sleeping. And once, what wakes him up is the moment I crawl my ass in the room, and once I crawl in and I shut that door, like, over here, like, yeah. Like, crying and stuff. He wakes up. He goes, what the fuck's going on? Why the hell are you crying? I was like, I hit my knee. He goes, why'd you fucking hit your knee? I was like, I went to close the door, and, like, there's something outside. And, like, he goes, go to fucking sleep. And I'm like, oh, my God. And I'm like, there's something outside. He goes, don't even start. I was like, I swear, go check right now. He goes to check. Nothing there. Fuck. And I'm like, now I look like the crazy person again. But that, for me, was the most, like, surreal thing I've ever encountered, seeing something like that. And me being in shock, where I was just like, dude, never again am I going to do that. Like, if the door's open, I'm locking my door. Y'all could come in. And I'm staying in this room.
Yeah, like, that is not my responsibility ever again.
No, yeah. That's traumatizing. I try to be the hero and shit. I mean, maybe I was a little bit of the hero, but, bro, I swear, that thing stayed in my head rent.
You should have left it rent free.
It's so traumatizing, and honestly, I do believe that it's like spirit snow. I know it doesn't feel like a gift, but I think it's definitely a good power that people have where spirits are able to, like, reveal themselves to you. No, I know it doesn't feel like a gift because it's scary. Really traumatizing.
Well, we want to thank you both for taking the time out of your day to come here with us and share your scary experiences. They're very interesting stories, and I'm sure our audience will be looking forward to hearing this episode.
Yeah, thank you again for thank you for being really vulnerable with us.
And thank you guys. Stories. Thank you everybody that tunes in and likes this spooky stuff, because we are a very special group of people that just, you know, get going with things like this that are very spooky. But thank you guys for having us.
If you would like to share anything, like any of your social handles or anything like that,
if you guys are soccer fans, obviously I know, you know, there's a good amount of soccer fans out there that like spooky stuff. You know, I go by Caste on Instagram, Caste4, and on Twitter, RC4Official. Not Twitter, it's called
X now.
X. Shout out Elon on that. But yeah.
Don't shout out Elon.
retract that on back. But yeah, so you could get me on there if you guys want to follow soccer. You could keep up to date on some soccer stuff there, and hopefully another episode in the near future with more spooky stuff.
Nice. And if you want to check us out on our socials, Sinframundo on Instagram and Sinframundo on all your listening platforms. Thanks for tuning in.
Eat beats. Thanks.
Eat beats and stay safe. Good night.
And that's a wrap.